on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8 p.m. and it's On The Ropes, it's live! Charlie, how are you this week? You're looking fresh-faced?
Oh, thank you, bro. Yeah, not too bad. Looking forward to chatting all things boxing. Been a fantastic weekend of boxing. How have you been? You've been away this weekend, I hear?
Yeah, wonderful weekend. I went to Whitstable for the weekend. I mean, if anyone hasn't been, any of our listeners, really, really is a spectacular place. An old friend has got a pub down there. Charlie, you know Darren really, really well from, many years ago. He's running a pub called the Neptune on the beach. Well worth a visit, guys. Fantastic food, fantastic weather, and, thoroughly enjoyable.
So I hope you brought me back some seafood.
I've got some oysters in my bag for you. Hopefully you can enjoy those after the show.
Oh, my God, yuck.
hope everyone that's listening is well. Please sit back and let us fill you in with your last fix of boxing news and reviews before the bell rings on yet another weekend. Seconds out, part one, Charlie. Big, big news reports coming in that Deontay Wilder's rematch clause with Tyson Fury is set to now expire. Fury will take a warm-up fight before the end of 2020 before facing Anthony Joshua next year. That's the speculation. Now, Wilder's co-manager, Shelley Finkel, has said that this is not true. They still plan to face Fury in December. However, according to Bob Arum, their plan is now for Tyson Fury to fight in the UK in December, then face Anthony Joshua in April or May 2021. When asked about Deontay Wilder's rematch clause, Arum said the only thing that can prevent Fury versus AJ is a loss in December against Pulev. Charlie, fantastic news if this is true.
Mark, fantastic news if it's true, correct. But what if Pulev does the unthinkable and beats Anthony Joshua?
Heavyweight boxing. You just cannot rule it out. We saw that with, obviously, Povetkin against White. It just cannot rule it out, Charlie.
Absolutely not. But that is, I'm buzzing for it, really. You know, Wilder's been umming and ahhing, hasn't he? It looks like, as you say, that could expire. There's been a lot of speculation in the coming weeks. Time will tell. Time will tell. But, yeah, I cannot wait to see Fury finally get it on with AJ. And I don't think it'll just be one match, Mark. I think this has the opportunity to run and run and run. You know, Wilder and Fury, they spoke about trilogies. You know, Joshua and Fury could run and run. There's definitely going to be, there's more to it than just one bout, I feel.
I think it'll be the biggest British boxing bout of all time. You know, of all time between two British fighters. I mean, I hope they pull it off. I hope it does happen. And may the best man win.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. But, as I said, Pulev first in December. Fury's going to be out. Who's he going to fight? Probably, someone with a decent record. But, let's wait and see.
Absolutely. Now, I found this really interesting, actually. Dominic Ingle has revealed that he will not be training Kell Brook for the Terence Crawford fight on November the 14th. He said, it's due to the fact that Brook is doing his own thing to prepare for the fight. I mean, doing his own thing, Charlie. Who's actually training him?
Oh, that's a good question, Mark. Good question. Who is training him? Is Prince Nassim back in business training him in the background? I mean, COVID. Can he travel? Is he travelling? Is he in Sheffield? Isn't he in Sheffield? Who's he hooking up with? It's a strange one. It's very, very strange. I know that Sugarhill's over here with Fury. Is he looking to him? Because wasn't Kell Brook out of the... was certainly wearing a Kronk's gym attire, wasn't he?
That's a very, very good point you say there, Charlie. He's been wearing those Kronk's T-shirts. So, yeah, you could be right there.
I might be speculating here just on the basis of a T-shirt that he was wearing, but Sugarhill's over in the UK. Sheffield's not far from where Fury's based.
Manchester.
Yeah, who know? You don't know, right? To walk away from the Ingles, something's happened there, right? Kell Brook's been very faithful and loyal, and vice versa. The Ingle family have been very loyal and faithful to him over the years. Very, very odd, that one. Very odd decision.
So if it's not the Kronks, Jim, is it Jamie Moore, potentially? Is it Gallagher, Joe Gallagher? You know, they're the Jims up north. I mean, where else could he be? I mean, I really don't... For such an important fight, at such an important stage of his career, I'd be very surprised if he was, you know, training himself.
Well, doing his own thing. What does that mean, Mark? What does that mean? You're doing your own thing for potentially one of the biggest fights of your career and potentially one of the biggest paydays. It doesn't stack up, does it?
No, hopefully we'll see some news on that very, very soon. Also, Jack Catterall has reportedly now agreed to step aside and allow Josh Taylor versus Jose Ramirez to take place in an undisputed fight for the WBA, WBC, IBF and WBO super lightweight world titles early next year. Now, Catterall is going to be mandatory for the winner, Charlie, here. So maybe he really wants that big payday against Josh Taylor.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he must have got step aside money as well, Mark. So he knows he's going to get the opportunity to fight the winner. So he's not losing any of his, you know, his status in terms of his rankings or where he sits within the governing bodies. And he's probably taking a nice little handsome amount of money to step aside. Win-win.
Absolutely. Now, big news also, Charlie, for Carl the Jackal Frampton this week. The WBO have reportedly now approved Jamel Herring to defend his WBO super featherweight title versus Carl Frampton next. Shakir Stevenson remains mandatory for the winner and must face him within 90 days. Now, Archie Sharp will also be chomping at the bit for this, and news that he is ranked number 4 and hot on the heels of Herring, Frampton and Stevenson. We caught up with Archie last week, Charlie, and he wants a shot.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. Fantastic news. I mean, it's all over Twitter in the last kind of 24 hours. You know, Carl Frampton saying, I've just got the news that I've wanted for a long time. I will be fighting the champ, Jamel Herring, before the end of the year. Thanks to MTK. Thanks to the WBO for making this happen. Time to become a three-weight champion. Jamel Herring's response was, see you soon, my man. Hashtag and still. So Herring's confident that he can obviously beat Frampton. Frampton's confident that he can become a three-weight world champion. Archie Sharp's in the mix, like you said, ranked number 4th. Stevenson is mandatory. Is there going to be twist turns? This division is fully stacked at the moment. And this fight is one I'm looking forward to seeing without a shadow of a doubt. Cannot wait.
And this fight is likely to take place in Belfast, Charlie. I mean, are we looking at crowds or not crowds? I mean, what's the situation here?
Well, who knows, right? I mean, there was talk about that Herring was willing to come over to Belfast. I'm not quite sure, Mark. I'm really not. I know that, which we are going to talk about later, Anthony Yards, December the 5th, Royal Albert Hall. And I believe that the Royal Albert Hall are allowing, you know, people in the arena for, you know, music events. So does that mean that boxing is going to start allowing people back in? Because it's very odd that, you know, you're allowed in for, you know, music events, but you're not allowed in for sporting events. So if that changes, you know, who knows? Herring comes over.
Stadiums are big enough, I think, now to allow fans back into stadiums. I mean, you could have half attendances, for example. You know, certainly boxing arenas are big enough, as is sporting arenas. So, yeah, interesting times. Now, Joe Gallagher has declared that Callum Johnson is willing to fight Joshua Buatsi next on the Anthony Joshua versus Pulev card. Now, December 12th is the date. However, he said Eddie Hearn has told them that Buatsi will now not fight again until next year. I mean, it sounds like Johnson wants the fight, and it sounds like Matchroom may not.
Well, apparently, I don't know, you were probably too busy last night in Whitstable having a few lagers, but I caught up with TalkSport last night, and they had, he was live, Johnson was live on the radio with Johnny Nelson. Johnny Nelson was trying to make out as if, you know, Callum Johnson had been very quiet, you know, and if he's the main man in terms of the British light heavyweights, you know, why hasn't he been calling out these guys? And Johnson was quite adamant that, look, Eddie Hearn made me an offer, a free fight deal. It was an offer. That was it. You know, I'm here for serious offers. You know, I'm ahead of the pack in terms of I've been in for a world title, or better be of, you know, and I took him, you know, I put him down. Yes, I got beat in the end. But, you know, even I'm the kind of A-side here. I am the A-side, not these guys. Yes, he's been inactive through injury. Yes, he's been quiet. And Johnny Nelson was arguing the toss, saying, well, you know, if you're supposed to be the best out of the British crop, why aren't you fighting these guys? And he was saying, well, you know, Buatsi hadn't even mentioned my name up until recently. And obviously, due to Buatsi's eye injury, he's the one who's taking a break. Not Johnson. Johnson said, I'm ready. If the money's on the table, Matchroom have made me an offer. It's nowhere near enough. It was a free fight deal. He said he'll fight Boatsy, he'll fight Yard, he'll fight anyone. But it has to be a serious offer. You can't fault the guy for that.
He has been inactive, and it sounds like he is keen to have that Boatsy fight. There is an injury to Boatsy, as you just touched on there, with his eye. So hopefully that fight can happen. But realistically, Charlie, if it is going to happen, I can't see it happening early December unless that eye is healed up. It could be in Q1. But it sounds like, you know, Johnson, if the money's right, he'll fight, and he'll fight anyone. We'll talk about Anthony Yard a little bit later. But before all that, fights to discuss now from Saturday evening at the BT Studio Stratford in association with Frank Warren and Queensbury. Obviously, Charlie, I missed this one, so I'm going to have to rely on your expertise as always here. The main event saw Liam Williams retain his British middleweight title with an early finish against Andrew Robinson and looks prime for a WBO king, Demetrius Andrade. Now, an early clash of heads saw both men cut and Williams put his foot on the gas, dropping Robinson with a vicious left hook to the body and scoring the stoppage after just 88 seconds. The challenger ruled out despite rising at the eight count. I mean, I saw the stoppage, Charlie. Williams is an absolute brute. I mean, he's continuing his good form. You know, I think the guy deserves a world title shot now, but I'm concerned that Andrade doesn't give him the respect that he deserves. And he's looking further afield. I mean, you know, the likes of Billy Joe Saunders has been rumoured in the past. Where does Andrade go from here? And where does Liam Williams go?
Well, Mark, I agree. Liam Williams definitely deserves a shot. He's really, you know, he's really excelled in the middleweight division. He's an absolute brute. And he's got that, unsavoury, when he sees blood, you know, he senses it. Like last night, you know, he realised that there was a head clash. It was Williams that was bleeding. His head was bleeding towards the back of his skull. And he tapped his head. He saw the blood on the gloves. And he thought, you know what? I better get this guy out of here. And I better do it quickly because, you know, he doesn't want any uncertainty with a cut. You know, the ref could stop it as the fight went on. And he didn't want that. And he just literally sensed blood, his own blood. And he went for the kill mark. He really did. And the venom in his shots and some, you know, the body shot, it was a left, like you said, it was a left to the body that took Robinson down. And he literally, you know, he could have continued that. You know, Robinson, I don't know if they stopped it a little bit too prematurely. You know, it did look like it, certainly to me, he got up around about the 8-9 second mark and the ref waved it off. You know, a little bit of controversy there. But I think, you know, Williams most definitely would have taken him out probably before the end of the round, if not definitely into the second round. So, you know, very, very good to see. I mean, you know, some of the chat afterwards, you know, Williams was saying about Andrade, you know, I'll walk through him and I'll dismantle him. And Andrade literally is just giving him the wide berth. And it looks like Andrade wants someone like Billy Joe Saunders. He's talking about stepping up. So, you know, for whatever reason, Andrade's just not giving Williams the time of day. But he's going to have to, Mark, because now I think Williams is mandatory. And, you know, what a fight that will be. Andrade's not really fought anyone like him. You know, Luke Keeler, he fought last time out. It was an easy win, really. But Liam Williams is a completely different beast. He really is. And I think he will trouble Andre. To be fair, he'll trouble anyone at middleweight.
I agree with you there. I mean, he's, like I said, he's continued this form, Charlie, I think. Was that his fourth defence of the British title? And he's just basically blasting people away. I mean, domestically, no one is in his league at the moment. He's got those two defeats to Liam Smith on his resume. He's had 25 fights. He's 28 years of age. Yes, he's still got a little bit of time left. But I would like to see him in there again for a world title shot. And this time, whoever he's in there against, they're going to see the best Liam Williams that you possibly can see at the moment.
Absolutely, Mark. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think he's definitely at the top of his game. I mean, you obviously didn't catch any of it, but Nathan Gallman was out last night as well on the undercard. He was fighting. Lattery, who fought Richard Lattery, who fought Daniel Dubois. Both men have been very inactive, but you know, Nathan Gallman, he looks slightly overweight, Mark. I'd say probably about 2 stone overweight. He was certainly a little bit flabby around the waistline. Still very sharp with his jab. Still very, you know, he's got a lot of movement for a heavyweight, and he took it unanimously on points. You know, impressed with his skills, but not impressed with the amount of weight he's put on. He even said after the fight, you know, he really needs to get in shape. And I think they might want to look at his strength and conditioning coach, because whoever he is, he must be down down the pub while Nathan's finished up training every day, because the guy just looks like he doesn't do any kind of strength and conditioning. So he might want to look at that, because, you know, the heavyweight division now, it long gone are the days where you could get by carrying a little bit of excess weight. You know, you've got to be trim, you've got to be lean, and you've got to be ready. And he certainly was none of the above, but he got the win. Where does he go next? I don't know. You know, maybe someone like Dave Allen, but I mean, Dave Allen's out towards the end of October, isn't he, as well? Christian Hammer, he's fighting in on the undercard of the Jezora Usyk bout, Bill. So, and Christian Hammer's been in there with some world class, so I'm not sure if Dave Allen's, you know, taking on too much more than he can chew, but time will tell on that. But someone like Nathan Gallman, I don't know where he goes next, Mark. I mean, what do you reckon?
I mean, obviously, I read that Dave Allen's due to be out again on the...
That's what I just said, yeah.
Well, you know, you just touched on. So I would have liked to have seen Gallman in with someone like Dave Allen domestically.
That's what you said.
No, I'm just, yeah, kind of agreeing with your view there. Who else is left for him domestically? I mean, you could argue that someone like Fabio Wardley.
Oh, good shout.
Could be in with a, you know, could be a good test for Gallman. In actual fact, Wardley would be a fantastic test for Gallman. You know, but he's part of that Warren stable. That's the difficulty. So
with David Adelaide's part.
David Adelaide. Adelaide's not quite ready, but it would be a good fight. I mean, I think Adelaide's had four fights. What's Gallman had? Seven now or something like that? So they are relatively, just a little bit premature, Charlie, to make the next step, I think. So, yeah, I would have liked to have seen someone like Dave Allen, I must admit, fight Gallman. But I think Dave Allen is looking at, you know, just a few more potential domestic fights really to get himself back in the mix, and Gallman would be just too much of a risk to Dave Allen's career currently.
Well, yeah, you might be right there. You might be right. Yeah, time will tell, because, you know, the heavyweight division is certainly in Britain, you know, there's so many good up and coming names. Someone like Babich even might, you know, will match room, but again, it's the different stables, Warren and Matchroom. They don't seem to see eye to eye, and they don't want to cross over with some of those bouts. But another guy was out last night, really impressed me. Scottish prospect Willie Hutchinson, a great amateur. You know, he was a world champion at youth level. He's now 13-0-9 by way of knockout. He came through last night, second, you know, his second first round stoppage, you know, since lockdown, really. You know, he's been out twice now. He outclassed, he dropped and stopped Jose Miguel Fandino, a Spaniard, who was most recently dropped in the seventh by the comeback king, Sergio Martinez. But Hutchinson got his man out there, 2 minutes 49 of round one, trained by Dominic Ingall. I mean, he's slowly getting down to super middleweight, which, you know, he's very, very tall. He's got all the skills. And I think it's super middleweight, Mark. He can really, if he starts up in his levels, which is, you know, he's due a real test, I think this kid has got the potential to go all the way at super middleweight. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on that there. He was a world amateur champion at youth level. He's now 13-0, nine of those wins, I know, coming by knockout. Yes, Charlie, he is potentially a big, big super middleweight if he can get down to that weight regularly. He's got the skill set, he's got the armoury, and he's got Dominic Ingall in his corner as well. And he is making, you know, a big, big statement. And for him to get down to super middleweight, I think domestically, you know, that they're in for a real test, some of these guys, and I think he can go on and push, certainly first at domestic level, then on to European, and possibly the world level, only at super middleweight. I don't think he's got the power at light heavy where he is currently.
No, I don't think he has, Mark, but he's still relatively young, isn't he? He's only 22. So I think they're doing the right thing, getting him down to super middleweight, and then naturally, as he gets, you know, probably a little bit, 4 or 5 years' time, surely he's going to go up to light heavy, and then he'll be able to contest it up there as well. But for now, I think it's a sensible thing to do to make him cut the weight, make him get down to super middle. And, you know, there's some big fights out there for him. You know, you think about, you know, people like Umar Sadiq, who's been up there as well, you know, at that level, Chudinov. You know, all he's got to do is keep winning convincingly like he's doing, and he's definitely going to get a shout, without a shadow of a doubt.
Now, fights confirmed, I was reading this week, December the 5th is trending in so many, many ways. Fights in the UK and the US. Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur has been confirmed for December the 5th at the Royal Albert Hall for the Commonwealth Light Heavyweight title. On the same night, Charlie, from the US, Errol Spence Jr. versus Danny Garcia for the WBC and IBF welterweight titles at the AT&T Stadium in Texas with, listen to this one, with spectators. Capacity to be confirmed.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, Mark. I said about the Royal Albert Hall music events. You know, December the 5th could be a pivotal date, you know, for spectators coming back into the arena. Obviously, the Royal Albert Hall, they can have, you know, a reduced capacity in there for music events. Well, why not boxing? What's the difference? You know, what's the difference? In Texas, they're going to have a small capacity crowd. Like you said, we don't know yet, but December the 5th could be pivotal. I'm telling you, and wait for it. December the 5th also, Luke Campbell versus Ryan Garcia. How do you like those apples?
Gosh, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Cannot wait for this one. Yes, as you touched on there, Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell. WBC interim titles on the line at lightweight, December the 5th. The venue, to be confirmed.
You like that, didn't you? To be confirmed. TBC, is that your word of the night?
TBC, new word for me.
Oh, your acronym.
New abbreviation.
Yeah. Acronym.
To be confirmed, Charlie, the venue, but oh my God, a tasty, tasty fight. Likely to be pay-per-view, I think, this one. I really do.
I'll pay for it. I probably wouldn't, actually.
No, you won't. You haven't got any money in that wallet. You never carry any money.
I can stream it.
Yeah, so really looking forward to that bout. So December the 5th, as Charlie touched on there, big date for the calendar, and we should see boxing fans back in arenas. Right, time for a break. We will be joined in part two by up-and-coming lightweight boxer Alfie Price. You know, great GB boxer, Charlie. Looking forward to catching up with Alfie and find out what he's up to now. He's recently switched over to Shane McGuigan. Right, we're going to leave you with this one. It's Rudimental Home. We'll catch you very soon.
Said I'll find my way back, back home. So tell me, why am I still lost in limbo? Nowhere to go. God knows I'm trying, I'm fighting to get out of here. Oh, but sometimes it's hard not to give in to fear. I build myself up cause I want it so much. I need to break free. Head up somewhere else. Cause it's a long way home. Courage to carry on. It's a long way to get out of here. Oh, but sometimes it's hard not to give in to fear. I build myself up cause I want it so much. I need to break free. Head up somewhere else. Cause it's a long way home. Courage to carry on. It's a long way home.
Seconds Out, part two. Welcome back to the second part of the show, guys. As I mentioned, we're joined live tonight for the second part by our guest, Alfie Price. Now, Alfie is a former GB boxer. He's currently a lightweight. He's 7-0, and he's currently trained and managed by Shane McGuigan. Alfie, how are you, my friend? And thanks for joining us this evening.
How you doing, my mate? You all right?
Very well, mate. Thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem at all. I'm going to pass you over to Charlie quickly, Alfie. He's got the first question of the evening, and he will be speaking to you very soon.
Okay, cheers.
Alfie, how are you, mate?
Hello, Charlie, mate.
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, all good. For some of our listeners, you know, if you've never heard the name, Alfie Price, he's the current Southern Area Lightweight Champion. Like Mark said, he boasts an unbeaten professional record of 7-0, and he hails from Hoddesdon in Hertfordshire. So, right, Alfie, I'm going to kick off. Like we said there, your record stands at 7-0. Coincidentally, you were a 7-time national champion in the amateurs. Seven times, unbelievable. Competing against such names like professionals at the moment in the lightweight division, Sam Maxwell, Josh Kelly. Yeah. Are you happy with your record of the amateurs, or you know, is there any regrets?
I just had over 100 amateur fights, so I won 85 of them, and I boxed numerous British champions now. Sam Bowen, you got Chris Congo, Josh Kelly. Boxed Olympic silver medalist twice, Lorenzo Sotomayor. So I had two close fights with him as well. So yeah, I boxed all over the world on the GB podium squad as well. And yeah, it's just wicked the transformation over to the pro ranks now. Yeah, so it's good. We're looking forward to the future. Now, so, yeah, that's some of my amateur career. So yeah.
And Alfie, I just wanted to ask, what made you turn to boxing, and can you recall the age really that you first entered the boxing gym?
Well, I did start boxing at 7 because I've got two older brothers who are national boxing champions. So it's always been in the family, but it's boxing. So we've always been a family of boxers. So I think that was always the route for me because I was always in the gym with my brothers watching them train down West Ham Boxing Club. So, yeah, so it was just a destined thing, I suppose.
And then obviously, you, like we said, you had a great amateur career. I mean, you then flips over to the pros. I mean, can you describe the transition initially? Was it easy? Was it difficult? How different is it, amateurs versus pros, etc.?
It's all learning, I suppose. So we turn pro, each fight you learn something new. So it's about the obviously longer rounds. You go 12 rounds, 10 rounds now, championship fights. So it's always about how fit your engine's got to be, how it's like... I think the age I went pro, I turned pro at 23, so I think that was the perfect age for me to turn pro because I had my man strength there. I was sparring world champions as well, so I knew I was good enough to make it to the top as a pro boxer because I was training with Linares, sparring Linares for his fight against Luke Campbell. I sparred Kevin Mitchell, I'd sparred Ricky Burns, I'd sparred all the top world champion fighters, and yeah, we just progressed from there.
And Alfie, in September 2019 was your last outing when you faced Jeff Afori for the Southern Area title, and you won that convincingly on points against the very durable Afori. Now, that was over a year ago. I mean, I can only imagine it's been very frustrating. How difficult has it been for boxers like you who want to keep moving up in levels when you're faced with a period of, you know, COVID-19 and the pandemic and you've been inactive? I mean, how do you remain focused?
Well, I've been the last... 2 months I've been really focused as I've been with my new trainer Shane now, and he's going to be managing me now as well in my career. So I've been really focused for the last 2 months because I've been training and learning under his wing now of his team of professional boxers down in Kent. So that last 2 months have been good for me, but prior to that it was a bit hard because he didn't know when I was getting out. I had manager issues with my previous promoter Warren, but that's all dealt with now, so we've moved on with that. And yeah, I think it's frustrating for all boxers, really, especially small hall fighters as well, where they can't get out because they've got to sell tickets, things like that. So it's the lucky ones with the platforms, really, who get out. So, yeah, so I'm just generous to be one of them boxers sooner or later, to be on them big platforms. So, yeah.
And, I mean, since turning pro, you've been mixing it up, like you touched upon there, with the names like Josh Taylor, Luke Campbell, who are under, obviously, Shane and the McGuigans. I mean... Some have labelled you the English Loma. I mean, firstly, what's the experience been like hooking up with McGuigan and sparring people like that? And then secondly, do you think you've got the attributes to you know, replicate someone like Loma?
Well, that's a big thing to say, because Lomachenko is one of the best fighters in the world, pound for pound. He's the best, like, amateur record. He had one of the best amateur records. So that is a big thing, of some privilege for people to say that, but I have the skills of it. I have the skills of Roma, so I can implicate the angles. So it's a nice thing to know, like, I can sort of follow in his footsteps with his style, I suppose, because it is a God-given talent.
And I mean, what's it like being in and around, you know, McGuigan's gym? I guess it sounds like you'd been in there previously for a bit of sparring, but now you're there permanently. I mean, what's it like just working with Campbell, Akoli?
It's wicked. Like, so, I mean, around world champions, so it's just privilege to be learning under them. I'm always thriving off them. I'm picking things up with all the fighters in the gym. I'm learning. So, yeah, it's just nice to know I'm under their wing with them, all future world champions, and I think only a good one, I suppose.
And do you think boxing fans will be able to see you out again before the year's out to showcase what you've been learning with the McGuigan and co?
Yeah, we are trying to get out this year. We are in camp. I've done a 7-week camp already, so I'm fit enough to go now. But it's just when we can get out, obviously. We're in the same position at the minute. We don't know when we're going to get out. But like I said, I'm in the gym. I'm keeping ready. I'm training every day just to wait to get that phone call, really. And so when my time comes, we'll take it with both hands.
And just stepping aside again, back to Lomachenko. I mean, it's one of the most highly anticipated fights in boxing. It's taking place Saturday, October the 17th in Las Vegas. Obviously, WBA and WBO champion Lomachenko versus IBF champion Teofimo Lopez. He's finally, you know, that fight's finally going to happen. I mean,
yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, are you going to be watching it? And who have you got? Who have you got for the win? Because it should be a big test. One of the biggest tests for Lomachenko.
Well, I suppose it's been a great matchup. It's a classic role. So I would like to see Lomachenko being tested in this fight. See what he is. About we know what he's about anyway, but Teofimo, like, we'll see what he's about. He's really, like, I know he's a fantastic boxer anyway, but let's just see what he's all about. I'm rooting for him, to be fair. I'm rooting for him. He's only young. I'm hoping to pull off the job, but he's got the attributes to do it. He's got the power, he's got the speed. So yeah, it's a very interesting fight.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I mean, you've also got a big fight. We mentioned it earlier, December the 5th. Obviously, someone that you know close up, Luke Campbell. He's got Ryan Garcia. I mean, again, what a mouth-watering fight that's going to be.
I've been in the gym with Luke. We're in the gym every day, so I can see him progressing. The power is something else now. Like, we've been sharing ring around every week with me and Luke. So he's got a tremendous left hand. So I think he's got the power to stop Garcia late. So I think it's a late stoppage for me. I think it's a bit of a soon step up for Garcia, but Garcia's a great fighter as well. He's got the speed, power, he's got everything. So, but to be fair, I think it's a bit too soon, too far for him at this stage of his career.
Yeah, you're right. But he is a young guy, and it could be too soon.
He's a great fighter, but I don't know. I just think the experience of Luke, because he hasn't really fought no one at this level, Garcia, has he? Let's be honest, he's not fought no one at this level, at lightweight level. So we know Campbell's fought for a world title twice. So we'll see what level he's at.
Yeah, I think it's a massive task. I mean, I think what it is, Alfie, you know, Instagram and social media platforms now, they prop these guys up, these young kids who, like you say, they've never really faced anyone.
Like I said, he's got the looks, he's got everything, the speed, the power. He's an Instagram boxer. But he's got everything, he's got it, but I'd like to see him tested, so we'll see what really he's about. This is the boxing game, like, you get found out late, sooner or later.
Yeah,
so we'll see what he's about.
Absolutely, and looking into 2021, I mean, do you have your eyes set on any particular opponent? What are you looking to pursue in the near future? I guess you're looking at British level first, or English title next, potentially. I mean, any opponents out there, or as you said, you're hoping to get back out soon. I mean, what's the plan for Alfie Price in 2021?
Well, I'll leave that to my team, Shane. Well, I know they want only big things for me, because they've seen me in the gym, they know what level I'm at. So what, we'll leave it to the team to decide that. But like I said, I'd fight anyone for anything when if we get the opportunity, because I know what level I'm at. So I'm 7-0. I could do one more step up fight, like an 8-rounder, just a learning fight, because I've been out the ring for so long, and then push for 10-round fights, 12-round fights, easy championship fights at that level, because I know I'm at that level. So it's just to wait for the team to decide and see what they think. But we're looking for that way anyway.
And I mean, I've got a question just in terms of working with Shane every day in the team. Obviously, you were with Leo Sabe before. I mean, going across to McGuigan, you know, can you give us a little bit of insight in terms of what's he adding differently to your game?
Well, it's the power. Like, I'm 7-0 with no knockouts. I've always had the power there, but it's just to generate it properly, sit down on my shots. I'm hitting 3 times harder. I've unlocked power now, and it's amazing. The way I'm hitting harder, the way I'm stepping over my shots, it's actually amazing what you learn in this boxing game, because you're learning all the time. And I've learned so much in 6 weeks since I've been with Shane. It's amazing what you can learn still. And I'm learning every day, and it's great. I can't wait for the future.
And Alfie, do you think, obviously, strength and conditioning, you've got, you know, you've got Duncan Ogilvy, who's helping out a lot with you guys now. Is strength and conditioning playing a big part in boxing now?
Of course. Like, at the start of my career, we weren't really adding, like, I was always working and boxing in the start of my career, like my pro career. So, and then we added the strength and conditioning probably in my fifth fight, and the improvements, like, in my last two fights have been amazing, just from just adding strength and conditioning. And with Duncan as well, I'm with the right team. I've got everything now to become the best fighter I could possibly become. Duncan's a great trainer, and he's beasted me already, and I feel the difference is now running, the power with sparring, it's wicked. Well, yeah, I've got the right team behind me.
Yeah, but it looks like, obviously, you've been working a lot on that power. We can't wait to see you back in action soon.
I can't wait.
I mean, yeah, it'd be just we're really looking forward to your journey. And I want to thank you tonight, Alfie, because we really appreciate you joining us here on Phoenix 98 FM and talking
thank
all
you.
Things
I appreciate
boxing.
Appreciate the phone call. I appreciate coming on. Thank you.
No, we've really enjoyed it. And best of luck for the next few months, Alfie, and we'll catch you soon.
Thank you, mate.
Take care. Cheers, Alfie.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Charlie, good kid, you know, good prospects. He's got the future ahead of him. I hope he goes on, you know, to the next level now. He really, really, it sounds like, he wants to. He's ready. Fantastic amateur career down at West Ham Boys. You know, he should go and get it.
Absolutely, bro. He sounds like, yeah, he achieved everything he felt he needed to in the amateurs. He switched over. You know, still relatively young, but, you know, he seems like he's a confident guy. And he, you know, under McGuigan, he's gonna go great guns, because, you know, they've got a good stable there, Mark, and he's mixing it daily with, you know, world level, you know, boxers, and that can only be a good thing. He's gonna learn so much from those guys, and yeah, listeners, watch out for Alfie Price, because he sounds and looks like a great prospect.
Yeah, and he sounds confident. You know, he sounds like he knows what he wants to do. He obviously sounds super keen to go and do it. And he will listen to the McGuigans now. Not quite sure what happened with Frank Warren. It sounds like he may have been a little bit frustrated. You know, he's with the McGuigans now. Or he's with Shane McGuigan. You know, and he's been in around the camp. He knows those guys really, really well. He knows the fighters. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really intrigued to see how he goes and where he goes from here. I really am.
Well, Mark, what the light, domestically, the lightweight division. Good division. Like people like Sam Maxwell, who obviously Alfie's fought in the amateurs. You've got Josh Kelly as well. Do you know what I mean? You've got Lewis Ritson. I know Lewis Ritson's always dabbled. He fluctuates, doesn't he, between the weights. But he's coincidentally, he's out next week, actually. So, you know, the lightweight division is one to look out for domestically, certainly in Britain. So, you know, if he can, you know, steamroll through that division domestically, then he's on to the Europeans and he's on to the Worlds. It'll only be a matter of time.
Well, he is one of the youngest, you know, he is one of the youngest in the division at the moment. If you look, he's number 8 in the UK. You've got the likes of Craig Evans, Liam Walsh, Maxie Hughes, James Tennyson, Ricky Burns, Luke Campbell and Lee Selby ahead of him. He's 26, right? Selby's 33 now, Campbell's 33, Burns is 37, James Tennyson's 27, Maxie Hughes is 30. Right, Liam Walsh is 34. So he's got a little bit of time on his side there. So that's what I'm saying. I think he can be patient. I think he might go for the English title next. See where that is. then he might look at the British. Whoever's got the British, he might go for that. So he has got, you think Luke Campbell's coming towards that end of his career. So is Lee Selby. So is Ricky Burns. You know, even Maxie Hughes took that win over John O'Carroll recently. You know, so he's got plenty of time there, and he's got upside. He's got the upside. You know, good amateur pedigree. I think he can get up there very, very soon, but I don't think he needs to rush.
No, you're right. It does need to rush, but and the openings will naturally happen, Mike. You're right. As the old guard move off, then there's going to be opportunity. It's going to, you know, present itself. So he's just got to keep winning. That's all he's got to do. Keep winning. You know, get up into the double digits, I think, in terms of wins, and then start having a sniff about and see who fancies it, because he sounds like he'll fight anyone. And he, you know, like we said there, he's confident and he's not going to shy away from any fight. So, interesting watch, and I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued to see how it goes.
I think it's time for a bit of music again, Charlie, because I'm feeling like I need a bit of a dance tonight. So we're going to play this one by Sigma featuring Ella Henderson called Glitterball. Enjoy this one. We'll catch you soon.
Is Phoenix 98 FM.
Charlie, favourite time of the week.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Quote of the week: let your unique awesomeness and positive energy inspire confidence in others. Wherever you go, no matter what the weather, always bring your own sunshine. If you want light to come into your life, you need to stand where it is shining. Success is the sum of all small efforts repeated day in and day out.
Can you say that again, Charlie?
Hey?
Repeated day in, day out.
Oh, he's got me there.
No, beautiful stuff in all seriousness. Love that he's the quote of the week. I mean, it's really, really uplifting and gets you ready for the week ahead. Now, fights to look out for Saturday the 17th, coming from the Newcastle Arena in association with Matchroom and Sky. Lewis Richardson versus Miguel Vasquez on Saturday, as I mentioned, at the Newcastle Arena. The fight is scheduled for 12 rounds in the super lightweight division. The fight will appear on the or the fights on the undercard will be Savannah Marshall and Hannah Rankin. They clash for the vacant WBO middleweight. Then it's over to Vegas middleweight title. Then it's over to Vegas for potentially the fight of lockdown. Vasily Lomachenko will take on Teofimo Lopez. The contest is for the undisputed lightweight championship of the world, with the WBA, IBF, WBO and WBC belts on the line, Charlie.
Amazing, eh? Amazing, bro. You summed it up perfectly there. Like, so much excitement. So much excitement. Yeah, Sky Sports next weekend. You know, it's great for women's boxing. Savannah Marshall, you know, she's a real, real talent. Team GB, she's got an opportunity to take the vacant WBO world title against Hannah Rankin, an all-British affair. I think it's going to be a fantastic fight. Women's boxing has really, really excelled recently. Obviously, throughout the summer, there's been some great contests, a lot of new world champions, and I'm really looking forward to it. Lewis Richardson, for me, he can be very frustrating for me, Lewis Richardson. Vasquez has been in there. Last time we saw him was down at the York Hall, wasn't he? He fought O'Hara Davis. Strong competitor. You know, nothing really, shouldn't be too much bother really for Lewis Richardson, but it depends which Lewis Richardson's turns up, because sometimes he's flat in terms of performance. So, you know, but yeah, it's not, you know, floating my boat, this Bill, but I am looking forward to seeing Savannah Marshall, and I think she can take that title 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, women's boxing has just, over lockdown, has really been catapulted really to, you know, by the nation. We've all thoroughly enjoyed watching the female bouts. Obviously, Chantel Cameron took that belt last week, also is now a world champion. Congratulations to Chantel recently on our show. Lewis Richardson, for me, Charlie, you're right. It is, which Lewis Richardson are we going to get on the night? He's 27 now. You know, he's got that orthodox stance. On his day, he's, you know, a high-calibre boxer. But on an off night, he can easily get found out. I mean, 21 bouts, and one of those, you know, one of those is a defeat. His one and only defeat came at the hands of Francesco Pereira. You know, Robbie Davis Jr., he won in his last fight, unanimous decision. He's got to bring the power. He's got to bring the belief. Vasquez, he should get out of the way. I mean, this is for the vacant WBA Intercontinental Super Light title. He should get Vasquez out of the way. If he can't, you know, alarm bells are ringing for me.
Well, if you recall, O'Hara Davis couldn't really get him out of the way. That night, it should have been a draw, but it was probably the worst O'Hara Davis I've ever seen that night. And Vasquez, you know, kind of, we were there in the crowds, and he looked like he might have nicked it on the points card, Mark, you know? Yeah. Well, with Lewis Richardson, he's got a great opportunity. But you know what? Without the crowd, normally up in Newcastle, his hometown, with a crowd, you would back him. But, you know, as we've seen throughout, you know, lockdown, some of the decisions have not necessarily gone to the home fighter, if there is a home fighter with a no, you know, in a no crowd situation. So, you know, this one, it could be a banana skin for him, Mark. It really could be. So, you know, time will tell on it. And then I'm just looking, you know, to flip over. You know, when in the early hours in Vegas, you know, Lomachenko and Lopez, I mean, that has to be not the fight of the weekend, potentially, Mark, the fight of the year. Honestly, I cannot wait for that.
I mean, you've been a big fan of Lopez throughout the course of this year, and you were in the camp that you can't really underestimate him for this fight, because he is the younger man. He carries some real power.
Yeah.
As does Lomachenko, as we know. Lomachenko, his boxing IQ is, you know, by far probably the best in the professional game at the moment. Lopez will be a test. It's going to be a very, very intriguing fight to see how Lopez, what he brings to the, you know, what he brings to the ring, Charlie, and how Lomachenko deals with that. That's what I'm most interested in seeing.
Yeah, I know, Mark. I am a big fan of Lopez, and to be fair, I'm a big fan of Lomachenko. You know, we saw him against Campbell, didn't we, at the O2? I was super impressed with him that night. You know, Campbell, his boxing IQ is up there as well, Mark, and you know, he controlled Campbell for long spells of that fight. He's going to have to do the same with Lopez. But Lopez, I think, is, you know, he's just raw. He really is raw. And he can really hit. And he's confident. And I think he'll just keep walking forward, which that may play into Lomachenko's hands, or it may backfire. You know, he's had a bit of injury, hasn't he, Lomachenko, I think, with one of his hands. So has he lost a little bit of power in those fists? Who knows? You know, it's an intriguing fight, and all the belts are on the line, or the majority of the belts. And, you know, I cannot wait for it. I really can't.
So Lopez is 23 years of age. You know, he's the young man of the division, Charlie. And this, you know, is a potential banana skin. That's what I'm really looking forward to. And how Lomachenko actually deals with him. I can't wait for it.
No, but Lopez, you know, Richard Comey, he was a big surprise, wasn't he? Knocked him out in the second round. I mean, you know, Comey was fancied for that. And that's what I mean. Lopez, he's got no fear, Mark. He's got a real set. He'll just go in there and he'll just do his thing. And I think he'll fight that. And I don't know if that is an advantage or a disadvantage against someone, Lomachenko, because if you go gung-ho too early, Lomachenko might pick you off.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Lomachenko's given away 9 years here, 32, a little bit like Campbell and Garcia, right? That's what I mean. You've got the experienced heads in there versus young and up-and-coming talents that want to basically dethrone these guys. You know, these guys that are there, or have been there, or are world champions. And it's the young guard coming through. That's what makes it so, so intriguing, you know, these fights. Garcia versus Campbell. More importantly, next weekend, Lomachenko versus Lopez.
Exactly. But, Mark, these young guys have still got enough time on their hands that, you know, no one now has got a perfect record, right? No one. It's nice to have zero on your record, but, you know, going in against the elite of the division, that's impossible. But these guys are still young enough, even if they do lose, they can go on 3 or 4 or 5 more fights and then they're back in there for a world title. It's the old guard that are literally clinching onto those titles, and they will not let them go. Even though people are saying they're over the hill, you know, will the young guy be too quick for them? You know, the youthfulness with the hand speed, etc., etc., etc. And it's, again, you know, who knows how it's going to play out, but these fights are just fantastic to see them made. They really are. And like I said, cannot wait.
Absolutely. So another big weekend of boxing to look forward to. If you want to get that Lomachenko fight on, you know, you get it on your TV screens.
Well, amazingly, it's not even on pay-per-view, Mark. It's on ESPN in the States, which is Top Rank. Bob Arum, you know, hats off to Top Rank, because over this side of the pond, there's pay-per-views for, you know, not... They're meaningful fights, but they're not of this
caliber. No, not of this
caliber.
They're
not of this caliber. They're nowhere near this high caliber that this fight is. It's not even on pay-per-view. I mean, hats off to Top Rank. And you will get a stream out there 100%. I'll certainly be looking for a stream. So, you know, guys, do not miss next weekend. Obviously, stick around for the Sky Sports bill if you fancy it. But certainly stay awake for that epic bout from Vegas.
And, you know, on Monday tomorrow, Boris Johnson will be addressing the nation. We don't know what lockdowns potentially are going to come, where they're going to come in the country. You know, boxing's back on your televisions. Get it on, even if we are in lockdown, just enjoy these sporting events, because I'm really, really looking forward to next weekend's boxing. As always, guys, don't forget to catch us on all the socials.
You can get us on Instagram, On The Ropes FM. You can get us on Twitter, On The Ropes FM1. We're also on Facebook. We've got a group called On The Ropes. And you can also get us, not just this show, you can listen back during the week and all our previous show. We've had some fantastic guests. You know, go on to www.phoenixfm.com. Follow programs, go scroll down to On The Ropes, and you'll have all our shows on there. You know, this is show 75, I believe. So there's 75 shows there, you know, 75 hours of listening there, guys. If you're a big boxing fan, get the headphones in, listen, and don't forget to share on Twitter, on Insta, retweet, tell all your friends, and they'll tell their friends. Keep listening, keep following. On the Ropes, live each and every Sunday, Phoenix 98 FM.
Phoenix FM.
Right, guys, we're going to leave you with a little bit of a song then. Now, this is a classic. Who Let the Dogs Out? This will get you ready for the weekend. So, as always, guys, thank you for listening and have a knockout week.
And remember, you're always in with a puncher's chance.
Was nice, the party was bumping. And everybody having a ball. Until the fellas started name calling. And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor one shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
I see the young people had a ball, cause Billy Bonders get out. Scruffy, bus scruffy, get back, you flea infesting mongrel. Gonna tell myself I'm man, no get angry.
Hey, yeah, B-I-O.
Two Eddie cows calling them canine. Hey,
B-I-O.
But they tell me, hey man, fart up the party.
B-I-O.
You put a woman in front and a man behind. I have a woman shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
If he don't have a bone,
oh doggy, hold your bone, oh doggy, hold it.
A doggy is nothing if he don't have a bone,
oh doggy, hold your bone, oh doggy, hold it.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Had a ball, cause Billy Bonders get out. Get back, Gruffy, bash Gruffy. Get back, you flea infesting mongrel.
Well, if I am a dog, the party is on. I gotta get my groove on, my mind, I'm gone. Do you see the rays coming from my eye? Walking through the prison, Digimon is breaking them down. Me and my white socks, short, drill, and gassy color. Any caliber, do I think I knew that's why they call me Pitbull. Cause I'm the man of the land, with it to me, that's it.
Who let the dogs out?
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Phoenix FM.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Phoenix FM.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.